You're listening to the podcast, The E at the End is Silent. This is a podcast about creators, where we interview our favorite authors, game programmers, musicians, makers, streamers, and artists of all kinds. Call us at 856-67-SULLY, that is 856-677-8559. Your question may be used in a later episode.
Hey folks, Dan, aka Tech Sully here, with the first of our crossover podcast reviews. We got a lot of suggestions, so if you haven't heard back from me yet and you're one of the people that submitted, you're still in the queue for me to get back to you. The first person to contact us, the first person past the wire, was the Four Orbs podcast. That's F-O-U-R-O-R-B-S. Dave, the DM from the Four Orbs podcast, was the first one to contact us. Here's a little backstory on me. I'm a techie guy. I'm a nerd. But I've been raised in the 80s during the satanic panic, and so my parents banned me from looking at or knowing anything about Dungeons and Dragons. So I don't know a ton about Dungeons and Dragons, and of course, you know, I run across it in video games and movies and things like that, but I never sat around and did a campaign with friends around a table. So this podcast was an eye-opening experience for me. It's a world I've heard of, but never seen or, you know, heard at least. Dave Cole, the DM, sent a handy listening guide to us. He said, start with episode 6, then go to 21, back to episode 1, and then I also picked up a couple episodes along the way and listened to his most recent one at the time. Apparently, there's a lot of competition in the D&D podcast world. So I sampled a couple of the ones in that genre, and Four Orbs has a lot that puts it ahead of the pack. Their audio quality is great. They sit around a table, and he edits it down, and takes out everybody's chatter, and you don't hear people smacking their lips or eating or anything like that. So that's the major thing he's got going there, is it's absolutely clear audio, which helps tell the story. And then Dave is in bands and knows music and composes his own music. So he actually has some fantastic music for the podcast, and it definitely fits the high fantasy theme there. The sampling the other podcasts in the genre, the advantage of having all of his people in the same room is very apparent. It's clearly a passion project that they take seriously, and they seriously have fun. There's some laugh out loud moments when you hear his cast of characters talking. And he takes a, he said he records for about 3 hours and then edits that down to the core parts of the story, tries to get roughly about the hour mark there, but it still leaves room for them to tell the story and to just have some solid laughs. Editing that has to be a monster task, and I'm impressed with the amount of work he puts into it. Heck, in our 10 minutes podcast here at the podcast, I have to edit out so much profanity and eating sounds that isn't even funny. You'll hear a little bit, because I can't edit it out entirely. When Dave and I are interviewing later, my family comes in and everybody has to in turn walk up to me and ask for me to fix things, turn on things, enter passwords, that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of work to edit that stuff out. His cast is Ryan, there's two Ryans, Matt, Steven, and Deidre. And these people, they commit to their characters. Some of the later episodes, you know, they're really, you can tell they're, you know, they know what the character that they're playing is going to be. So, one of the characters, my favorite one of the is the guy that plays the bard. He plays a tiny bard, but he's got this huge ego and makes everybody say his full name, which is like five names long. It's hilarious. That was the first time I had an absolute first belly gut laugh And then his, the other folks, especially, the ones I have to play like a half orc or whatever, they really commit to the their roles. So I can see why they have so much fun doing it. As a D&D outsider, I can see how the stories that evolve from these games are so compelling. And yeah, there's a lot to envy here with Dave and his crew getting to have so much fun. And this is going to be something they're going to be able to look back on for decades to come. So check them out in the show notes for the show and on iTunes. Search them up as Four Orbs. Really easy to find them. They have some advertising on the thing, but it's all the standard stuff you can do for free. Like you'll hear a lot of podcasts have the Amazon links and things like that. They don't have regular advertisers, but they do have people that donate. And so if you're interested in into helping them out, listen to a couple episodes, check them out. Four Orbs on iTunes and whatever podcatcher device you use. Coming up now is my interview with Dave Cole, aka Dave the DM. All right, we are recording. All right, so this is Tech Sully. I'm interviewing the host of the Four Orbs podcast. Go ahead and introduce yourself and name your characters and your show there, and I'll kind of give a little background. I'm going to tack this interview on after after I do the kind of the rundown of listening to your podcast for the first time and all that. So, but go ahead and introduce yourself and let me know kind of the elevator pitch for your podcast.
Sure. Hi, I'm Dave Cole. I'm the Dungeon Master, host, and producer of the Four Orbs podcast. We have five other members that are part of the podcast. They all play characters in our extended story where we. Nah, I didn't pitch that right. I'm sorry.
A campaign.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, in our campaign for our Dungeons and Dragons homebrew world, where I've created this world that I've been working on since I was in high school, so about 10 years. And our characters are my wife, Astra, a half-orc barbarian named Kef, a human ranger named Finch, a gnome bard named Doroth Fabe Gromond Kyle, and a elven warlock named Felomir.
Very cool. Yeah, I was going to say, your folks commit, especially your bard, demanding all of his names be said. I laughed out loud when I heard that. Yes, and I think the half orc barbarian definitely commits. I was kind of impressed. I came in completely flat footed, knowing almost nothing about the people playing. I mean, you expose a little bit of that on the internet, but I mean, I never actually sat through and listen to people go through an entire campaign. So it was fascinating for me to try to pick up the stuff. But your guys there, they really commit, and I and it made it as somebody who's not there several laugh out loud moments. And so yeah, I was pretty impressed with how committed they were. And talking about editing, and I'll edit out the ums and uhs and all that. But how long? I mean, because I noticed you don't have people eating or smacking their lips or saying ums and uhs and all that in the thing. So how much editing do you do in an hour to hour and 10 minute or so episode there?
Well, we record for about 3 hours, and then I knock that down to an hour to an hour and a half. A lot of the time with Dungeons and Dragons, whenever you're at a table setting like that, we end up having to open up the book, looking up how a spell works or something like that. And that's not very fun for a lot of people to listen to. Like, it's a story-driven podcast, so all we're really focused on is the story, but you got to follow the rules still. And so it takes me about 15 hours to edit those 3 hours into an hour and a half because, unlike doing like a Skype call like this or whichever recording software you use, we're sitting at a table with six different mics, so everybody's bleeding into each other's mics. So I have to go in and do a lot of vocal cutting to make sure that there's not a huge echo. And I also produce the music for the podcast, so I do all the music myself, so I don't have to deal with any kind of copywriting or anything like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because, I mean, you honestly, you have some pretty good music there, and it didn't sound like the standard stock stuff I've heard a million times on podcasts. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, that was the other question I was going to ask is how you record, but yeah, that you've already answered that. So you basically you're all in a room and you can all kind of riff and react off of each other then. Have you had challenge, trying to get people together consistently,
Well,
schedules and
but
stuff?
we actually, this group actually, we played an entire D&D campaign before we started the podcast. And so we were pretty much already on a routine of meeting up every Tuesday. So we record and play on every Tuesday when we can, but because of the editing process now, we don't get to do that because I release on a biweekly schedule. And because of the amount of, like, I work a day job, I'm in two different bands, and I have the podcast going on. Plus, I got to hang out with my wife every once in a while, So that process can take up a lot of my free time. And so we don't get to play as much as we used to whenever we weren't doing a podcast, but it ends up being like a, you take what you can get out of it because it's something that we're recording. And sure, we want to do it for our fans and like we want our fans to listen to us. But a lot of the time, like it's a really fun idea to think about in 10 years, we could come back and listen to this and relive that story. Because like, who knows, we might all like move away from where we live and we don't get to see each other all the time, or we have families and we don't get to spend that much time like at a table playing Dungeons and Dragons. So, and even then, like, I mean, I plan to have kids with my wife in the future and they can go, like my kids, if they're super nerds like me, can just come and listen to me play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, definitely. That's my experience. I've played, some EverQuest back in the day and stuff like that. And as soon as my daughter was born, my era of being a bard was over because, it just takes so much out, so much time to raise kids. So yeah, I understand that. But boy, yeah, that's I knew you had to do a lot of editing to get that down to what we were hearing there. And your audio quality is excellent. So I just wanted to. So do you have a background there in audio? You mentioned you're in a couple of bands and stuff, but
Well, actually, when it comes to recording, I used to be in a band a long time ago, and I never actually did the recording myself, but another member of the band did, and I just kind of watched from a distance. But that was like 7 years ago. It's been a process to get to where we are. I'm definitely more proud of the most recent episodes versus some of our early episodes. I thank you for the compliment that it's, good audio quality, but I still feel like I got to get a little bit better, and I'm making moves to try and get that done, but I also know nothing about it. So it's, and if anybody listening to this is wanting to do a podcast, then just go for it. I mean, podcasting is like the technology was the hardest part to figure out, but if you can commit to it and do it, it'll work out. I promise. You just got to do that. Just got to put the time in to do it.
Yeah, and it's always amazing who becomes the audience. We have a massive outside the country listening for this podcast, and we've always joked that I think they're just trying to hear what an American accent sounds like, or learning English as a second, whatever the reasons they listen. But they're engaged. They send us messages and all that. So have you built a community around the four orbs? Have you heard from people that listen?
It's growing. I try to do as much as I can to get people involved. Like one thing we do is our Patreon account and our Patreon account and our iTunes reviews are a way you can get involved in the podcast. But because if you do one of those, I will put your name in a random drawing for whenever we pull NPCs into the story. So one of our most committed fans, I hope he actually listens to this whenever I, announce that I did this. But his name's Dave Lahr, and he became a priest-ish type thing NPC that had already died, and I called him Ovid Lahr. So I just kind of flipped the Dave backwards.
Okay, yeah.
I'll do that to kind of preserve the name, even though I just kind of gave his name away. But I'm sure he'd be okay with it. I think his Twitter handle is all about his name.
Oh, that's cool. Walk me through as somebody who's never listened to this before. And I don't know much about the raw D&D world. But like you said, you've been doing this custom for about 10 years. If somebody was familiar with D&D and they have all the manuals and all that, how different is your world from what they have experienced or will have experienced?
Sure. The manuals, like, there's three core books. There's the Player's Handbook and the Monster Manual and the Dungeon Master's Guide. Honestly, all you really need is the Player's Handbook to get started. That's kind of if you have a very creative mind. But what Dungeons & Dragons and Wizards of the Coast do, Wizards of the Coast, I think, is the company that makes it all. They make these little pamphlet campaign books that the Dungeon Master can just kind of read through, and it kind of guides them on a story that they have put into a world. So Dungeons and Dragons, over the last five editions of their rule books and core guidelines, kind of changed the setting for each edition. And I think the fifth edition, which is what Four Orbs uses to play, is in a world that I think it's in their Forgotten Realms world. I could be wrong on that, but a lot of people might have heard of the Forgotten Realms because of the books that have the good drow in it, and I think like Neverwinter Nights, the video game back in the day.
Yeah,
it's based on the Forgotten Realm world. Here's a helicopter flying by. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
but things like that. So basically, the Wizards of the Coast company makes little campaign books for DMs that don't really want to commit to just making their own homebrew world, and it kind of guides you along what to do. And with fifth edition, the one that they're working on right now and have released for like the last 2 or 3 years, has a introduction starter pack called the Lost Mines of Phindelver. And I actually did play with it just to kind of learn the rules for fifth edition before we started the podcast. And it was really easy to pick up and do. And I hear all the time on Reddit and Twitter about like parents playing it with their kids, and just because it's so easy to pick up and play. Because so there's like a starter set that actually has like pre-made characters, so like if you don't want to spend the time making your own custom character, which can be time consuming, you can actually just pull from this this box set and just choose a character from it. So like you could just play with your kids.
How much has technology changed this? I mean, I hear you guys physically rolling real dice, but I'd imagine that I have a friend who's mentioned that they keep up through Skype and things like that whenever they can't get. Is it mostly analog still for you, or is it?
There's nothing like rolling a D20, like physically rolling the D20. There's plenty of applications on phones out there that can, do the dice rolling for you. But like just having that dice in your hand and actually rolling it is sometimes the most gratifying thing in the world, especially when you get that critical 20. Plus, I mean, my day job, I'm kind of a software engineer, and I know that it's impossible to design a program that is truly random.
Yeah,
a dice is truly random, whereas a program cannot be. So a dice application, though you may not know what number it's about to throw you, isn't truly random. So it's not fun. It's not that fun to use an application on your phone or anything like that. So, I mean, dice sets are 7 dice. There's the D20. A 20-sided dice is a D20. And then there's the D12, the D10, the 8, 6, 4, and I think that's where it stops. Yeah, that's where it stops. But they also have percentage dice that are like 100-sided.
Wow.
Because sometimes you need that percentage dice.
Yeah.
But the way that they do the percentage dice is they do have like dice is plural, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, die is singular. They have a big die that is 100-sided. But in your dice set, you get a D10 and then a double-digit D10. So you roll those two together and just add the two numbers together, and that makes your D100.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. Last question I have for you. Do you craft the story, or does the team craft the story? I mean, you're throwing up challenges. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I mean, you're basically setting the universe there, and then they're creating, ways around the problems, at least from what I could tell, right?
Sure. Yeah. So basically what happens is it's kind of a collective. It's honestly the easiest way to ever write a book, if you were to try and write a book, because I don't have to make the decisions for my characters if I was to write a book out of this. What I did to prep my story is, and what I always do whenever I start and end any campaign, is I write the beginning, and they call it kind of roller coaster. I think they call it roller coastering. or railroading, where you pretty much lead your characters down a straight path and don't really give them a lot of decisions. I do that in the beginning of my campaign so that the story can get started. And as soon as I can, I let them just start making whatever decisions they want. So basically, I write week to week so that I'm not, like, I'm not accidentally railroading them into decisions they don't want to make. Okay. But I always come up with like 6 or 7 endings, and I make it to where the story that they're progressing through, things that they do could change those 6 or 7 endings to where they go to one specific ending.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll put all the links for your show in the show notes and, you know, and let people know where they can find you. Thanks for joining me today. And this will probably come out, I'm going to aim for Friday. But as you've heard in the background on my site, too, if I don't edit it all out, it's busy here, too. So thank you for joining me.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you could make time for me.
All right. Thank you much.